It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yes. Well, speaking of the war, Pete Hegseth faces a second day of hearings today. He is going to get grilled again by Democrats on Capitol Hill. The senators are taking their shot at him today. They get their first opportunity to confront or praise the Pentagon chief over his handling of the war. If you watched any of his testimony in the House yesterday, depending on what side of the aisle the House member questioning him came from, he was either the second coming of every military genius known to man or the most inept goofball who needed to resign that you've ever run into. I'll let you decide which side you want to put him on. But Hegseth battled with Democrats and a few Republicans yesterday during a nearly six-hour House Armed Services Committee hearing, where he faced sharp questioning over the war's costs in dollars, lives, and the diminishing stockpiles of critical weapons. And if you watched any of this, you saw he was as demure and full of courtesy and cooperation as all other Trump administration members that have had to testify in front of Congress. He was smug. He was arrogant. He was screaming at House members, but that's just Pete being Pete. The Armed Services Committee is going to hear a similar presentation on the Trump administration's 2027 military budget proposal, which would boost defense spending to a historic $1.5 trillion. Wow. Hegseth and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, will again stress the need for more drones, missile defense systems, and warships. They're now also likely to face tough questions about American troop levels in Europe after President Donald Trump yesterday leveled a new threat against NATO ally Germany, suggesting he could soon reduce the U.S. military presence in the country as he feuds with Chancellor Friedrich Merz over the Iran war. Sidebar, that came after a 90-minute phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin. 90-minute phone call with Putin, the same Putin whose country was giving our troop placements to Iran. Just so
ironic.
You know that. Yeah. I don't know if there's a connection. I'll let you decide. If the Senate hearing is similar to yesterday's in the House, Republican senators may focus on the details of military budgeting and voice support for the operation in Iran. Democrats, however, are expected to press for answers on strategy in the conflict, now in a tenuous ceasefire, and Hegseth's firing of top military leaders. He refused to answer questions on how much longer the war would last or how much more it would cost. When questioned about that, he immediately made Representative Ro Khanna was questioning him about the cost. And instead of answering, he just kept shouting, what is the cost of Iran having a nuclear weapon? But then he also said that their nuclear capabilities had been obliterated,
right,
contradicting himself. So it has been same old song and dance for anybody.
It's always a
testifying
show.
Testifying from the administration.
It's a show. That's essentially what it is.
Very performative.
Their testimony usually has little substance or fact-based with it. And because a lot of this administration is unqualified to hold the positions that they do, he was a weekend Fox anchor, right? That's what Pete Hegseth did. I mean, let's be realistic. He has some time in the National Guard, and he was a weekend anchor on Fox News. That is his qualifications for being in charge of the Department of Defense. So when you have to sit in front of senators and representatives who are fully prepared, who have fully analyzed, who understand the budgets, who understand the military, and they start asking you questions, it simply evolves into some sort of performance art is what happens.
Yes, and because every time he was asked about, you know, gas prices prior to the war and now,
right,
he would just scream, more in California, more in California. It's like, all
what?
Right, you're a child. You're a child. You're a not serious person. You are unqualified. You are ill-informed.
Right.
And you are nothing but another lapdog for the president.
I mean, it essentially goes back to the same arguments. And this is why, as you know, this administration started rolling out the cabinet and wanting to for the confirmations, why some Republicans who eventually did confirm these cabinet members,
sure
but
did.
A lot of Democrats had so many reservations because it was because of these conversations right here. They mm-hmm. knew exactly what this was going to look like, and that you know, while some of these cabinet members may have been qualified to do something in the administration, they were probably very unqualified to be the head of some sort of cabinet and department. And that's essentially what we're seeing. And
yeah.
I'm just, here's the thing. I remember when Senate hearings used to be boring and nobody used to tune into
yes.
them. And I really miss those days. Like, I miss those days when it wasn't theater and nobody was talking about Senate hearings, because those are just a normal process of government.
And even when they were contentious, there was no screaming and yelling
right?
and demonstrative stupidity. It was just debate.
Right.
But we don't have that, because to debate, you both sides need to have their facts. Both
right.
sides need to be well informed. And in these cases, one side is well informed. And whether you agree with the Republicans on the
mm-hmm.
committees or not, they're informed. The Democrats are informed. The people from this administration that sit before those committees are not.
Right.
They have a list of talking points, and God forbid you go any deeper with your questioning, you will expose them as the dolts that they are.
And they always come in, and this is fact, because photographers have gotten photos of them while in the room. They always come with a list of talking points in big bullets.
They're going to yell at,
yep,
targets.
These are proven facts. These are photos that have been proven to be sitting on the table in front of these cabinet members during these processes. And this is just how this administration works. But yeah, I miss boring government. I miss boring government when they were just operating and we would get
yeah.
mad about a few different things. That's what I miss. But we've got to bring
it. Those times are long gone.
They are. Well, maybe
any
one
other
day.
S we need to know?
Yes, there is a few things. In fact, we got to bring it right back here to South Dakota, going back to my childhood roots, because
wow.
we were talking about that. Back to Wisconsin. The federal government is suing the state of Wisconsin. It's in response to a lawsuit that Wisconsin filed last week. Attorney General Josh Call is going after companies state officials believe are exploiting loopholes around gambling. Now, the mm-hmm. lawsuit names five companies, including Kalshi, Polymarket, Robinhood, and Coinbase. Call says because those prediction markets let people make investments tied to the outcome of sporting events, it's basically a way around sports gambling laws. However, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission says, probably didn't know that was actually a thing, says that it already is already regulating those companies. The agency argues Wisconsin's lawsuit is now interfering with federal law. The commission has filed similar lawsuits in response to actions other states have taken, including New York and Arizona. Okay, so here's my question. If this lawsuit is going to interfere with federal law, then why isn't federal law doing something to regulate
it,
right?
Well,
that would be based on what the title of the commission is. You would think that that's what they were doing. Doesn't really seem like that's happening,
no.
considering what we're having. And this goes beyond sports betting, right? We've
oh,
seen,
it's everything.
It's
we
everything
talked about this,
the war,
well,
right? When bombs
when,
were going to
yes.
drop in Iran.
Well, and this is, it goes back. We talked about this last week when Josh Call filed this lawsuit, and it does the semantics that the companies are using, that they're not
yes.
a bet, they are a contract and a predictive thing. It's very much I did not have sex with that woman kind of semantics.
Right.
You know, so we're trying to they're parsing their words very carefully. But yes, they you can bet. Because you are betting.
Mm-hmm.
You're
betting.
You're placing
you're
a wager.
You're betting to win money.
Right. So you can do it for everything. Everything. And that's why we're coming into, well, we had the Special Forces soldier arrested last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow he made a lot of money betting that Maduro would be out of Venezuela by a certain date.
Yeah.
And what do you know?
Turns out that might have known a thing or two and actually
yes.
cashed in fairly big on that one. So I don't know.
Which is probably what they're saying. Well, look, we are regulating. We're finding things, irregularities, but
it's weird. We also can't trace who those
strange.
People are, how they're getting their information, and where the money is coming from. Weird. That's not really regulation in my book, but what do I know?
No. And it's because we know— Attorney General Josh Call, he's not putting up with anything. He's filing lawsuits all the time.
Right.
So, all right, let him come, let him see. I would imagine maybe it's part of that intimidation move where you go, all right, well, we're going to sue you back. And, okay, sue me back.
More performance theater, perhaps?
It's all kabuki. This whole government is kabuki.